This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the Word today. Now, here is our pastor.
We will still continue our theme about relationships and how in our relationships there are a certain few concepts that if we will really grab onto, we can have good relationships with our parents, with our siblings, with our children, with our spouses, with our co-workers, with our neighbors, with our church family. Now, the last time we were in this series, we were talking about the concept of contribution. That is the idea that if you're going to be in a healthy relationship, a relationship that's going to go on, you have to contribute to that relationship. You know, and I was thinking, the Grays have been bringing up an interesting breed of pets. Where'd they go? There they are. They have had, from babies, hatch out little praying mantises. And I saw pictures of the baby when they were like the size of your fingernail. And normally praying mantises are much larger than that. But you know, even the Grays' relationship with the praying mantises, they have to contribute to that relationship. Now they make regular sacrifices of crickets to the praying mantises. But if you don't contribute to that relationship, what's going to happen to all those praying mantises? They're going to die. That's right. It's not going to be a good relationship anymore. Now, Mr. Bender, and I'm pleased to use him as an illustration while his in-laws are here. He has a reputation for a lot of things, one of which is killing plants. It's his spiritual gift, he believes, to, in his landscaping, kill everything that has chlorophyll in it. Yes, deadscaping is what he calls it. But somebody who loved and appreciated him, but maybe didn't know that deep, dark secret about him, gave him a plant for his office. I had a meeting with him yesterday. I looked at his office like, you've got a plant, and it's real. It's not like plastic. And he said, no, it's going to be easy to take care of. It's no problem. I just have to put 2 ice cubes on it every week. But you still got to put the 2 ice cubes on. And it can't be like frozen poison either. It's frozen water. But whether it's a plant in your office or whether it's praying mantises in an aquarium, you've got to contribute to them or the relationship's going to be short. The same is true in our relationships with each other here in our church family and in our homes and our businesses. We have to contribute to the relationship. It never works well if it's a one-way street. Give me, give me, give me, give me. It's got to be each party in the relationship giving to the others. We saw Epaphroditus was a great example of that. He gave and he gave and he gave, and we want to be like he was. We then saw how Esther was an example of contributing to a relationship with her husband, and Jacob was an example of contributing to the relationship with his wife. I want us quickly then to move to some other categories this evening, and we are going to think about contributing to our relationship with our coworkers and neighbors. I know that may seem painful to some of us. Do I really have to contribute to my coworkers? Do you have some problems there? Just look at your husband like, oh, I gotta... Sorry, it's what you get for sitting on the front row. What about your neighbors? You ever have trouble contributing to your neighbors? Is it a relationship where they're always taking from you whether you want to contribute to them or not? Well, the Bible speaks to us about this, and predominantly our text will come this evening from the books of Moses. In the books of the law, we find a lot about contributing to our relationship with our neighbors. Turn, please, first of all, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Now, we have a lot of points tonight, but I'll try not to spend long on any of them. Notice I use the word try. Yes. Exodus chapter 12, verse 4. Exodus 12, 4. We'll learn about contributing to our neighbor. This is, if you remember, the setting is just before the first Passover, and the explanation of the procedures is being given. And one of the really neat things about Passover is how it pictures Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross. And because of that, God had very specific rules to be followed. Because if the rules weren't followed, it wouldn't be a good picture of Christ's sacrifice for us. And one of those rules was he didn't want to have leftover meat after the meal, the sacrifice was kept. So he said, I want you to get this lamb and kill it and put its blood on the doorpost. But then I want you to eat the lamb that night, and I want you to eat all of it. There is to be no leftovers. And all the men said, amen to no leftovers, right? Hey, actually, leftovers can be really good. They can be very good. But God didn't want leftovers of this lamb, and so listen to the instruction He gave in Exodus 12:4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. So I guess that means if you had teenagers in the house, you had to get several lambs because it was proportionate to how much you eat. I don't think that's actually what it meant. But the point was this. If you're in a small household, and every household is supposed to get a lamb, and the lamb is too much for you, you're not supposed to just get rid of the lamb. You're not just supposed to burn it. You're not just supposed to throw it away. He says, call your neighbors and say, we have extra. Can we share with you? You're to contribute to relationship with your neighbors. Anytime you have something extra, you ought to look to your neighbors and say, could I bless them with this? I'm so thankful that people do this sometimes in the summer with the produce from their gardens. This is an unashamed advertisement that if you have garden produce that's extra, feel free to share with me. We were down in church in Alabama last week, and on the fourth Sunday of the month, they have a food fellowship thing. And so we did that, and I noticed in the kitchen counter there were a bunch of very, very ripe garden tomatoes. They're a little head down there from where we are here. And we had one for the meal. It was delicious. And I loudly complimented the whole group. I said, those garden tomatoes were really, really good. That's not like one from the grocery store. And the lady who brought them said, oh, well, we weren't going to send the extra home with you. And I admitted that that's why I gave the compliment, because I was hoping to get some extra. But whether it's zucchini or tomatoes or anything that you grow in your garden, if you get extra, a good way to contribute to the relationships in your neighborhood is to share that extra with them. But maybe it's a little more costly than zucchini, because sometimes we're wanting to get rid of the zucchini, aren't we? Sometimes God gives us something else that's valuable and we have extra. Does it ever cross your mind to share with your neighbors? Turn now to Exodus chapter 22. We'll see another area that we need to be willing to practice if we want to contribute to our relationships with our neighbors. Exodus chapter 22, verse 10. Exodus 22:10. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast or a baseball bat. Wait, it doesn't say that, does it? But this verse, boys and girls, are you listening? This passage in Exodus is exactly what our friends in the puppet show taught us tonight. That if your friend or your neighbor loans something to you, there's something that you ought to do. Let's keep reading. If a man delivers to his neighbor any of these kind of animals to keep it, he says, look, I'm going to be out of town. Would you watch over my animals for me? And the animal die, or it be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he, the neighbor, hath not put his hand unto the neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. All right, so here's what he's saying. He says, if you loan something to somebody, and you say, look, I need you to help me out, would you please take care of this while I'm gone, and then something bad happens to it, then that neighbor, the person who loaned it, shouldn't be upset at you if you did the best that you could. And I have a really sad story to illustrate this. Boys and girls, ready for a sad story? Once upon a time, Pastor Lee had a nephew named Benjamin. Benjamin had a guinea pig. Benjamin's guinea pig was named Harry. I don't know if it was named after a prince or if it was just because it was covered with, but they named the guinea pig Harry. Well, Pastor Lee's nephew and his family went on vacation out of town, and they needed somebody to take care of Harry. So Pastor Lee's nephew brought Harry to Pastor Lee's house for a week. Pastor Lee's kids enjoyed playing with Harry for a few days. Pastor Lee warned them not to lose Harry.
And they did not lose Jerry. By the way, I have to tell this story accurately because my kids are watching live stream tonight, so I have to be careful. Hi, Mom. I mean, wife. Okay. Well, they didn't lose Harry, but they noticed partway through the week, Harry was acting funny. And Harry was having some functions that seemed unusual for a guinea pig. And so we contacted Pastor Lee's nephew and said, is this supposed to happen? This doesn't seem right. And warned him that things weren't looking so good for our friend Harry. Well, the day that Pastor Lee's nephew was to arrive was fast approaching. And Pastor Lee was hoping that his nephew would make it there in time. And he didn't. They came to pick up Harry, and Harry, well, he was still Harry. That's all. It was sad. The little guinea pig died. It made us all very sad. But you know, Pastor Lee's nephew Benjamin was a good nephew because he said, you did the best you could. It wasn't your fault. I'm not going to be angry at you. And everything was okay. And all the boys and girls and everyone except Harry lived happily ever after. Do you like my story? Should I tell lots of bedtime stories? I'm a little out of practice. Yeah. But Exodus 22 tells us that if somebody asks you to take care of something, and through no fault of their own, something bad happens to it, you have to forgive them. But it also tells us that we need to be careful when we're taking care of something for somebody. Like taking care of Pop's bat. Let's keep reading in Exodus 22. Listen to verse 12. It says, and if it, the animal, be stolen from him, he, the one who is taking care of it, shall make restitution unto the owner. So in this case, it wasn't that the one taking care of it did the best he could. He was careless. And the animal got stolen, so he had to pay the owner back for it. If we are going to be contributing to our relationship with our neighbors, when they ask us to take care of something, we need to be careful. We can't say, oh yeah, I'll take care of it, here, put them in my yard, and then we're not paying attention and it gets stolen. If our family had not tried to take care of Harry, if we just kind of left the lid off and let him run around and hope that everything worked out, we would have been in big trouble when my nephew got back. So when the people ask you to take care of things for them, you need to be careful. And you need to return it back to them as good as you found it, right? That's an important way to contribute to our relationships. Well, for sake of time, let's move on down to Leviticus. Come to the book of Leviticus and we'll find another way that we can contribute to our relationships. We're going to take care of things if people ask us to watch over them. We are going to make sure that we share with people when we have extra. And Leviticus 19 teaches us that we should be prompt and fair in our business transactions. Prompt, that means on time, quick, and fair with our business transactions. Leviticus 19:13 says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. In the law, God told his people, look, if you hire somebody to do something and they do it that day, don't send him off home empty and say, I'll pay you tomorrow. Especially in this culture, people very much lived what we call hand to mouth. In other words, they worked that day and at the end of the day they had enough to feed themselves for that day. That's how poor they were. We are so blessed and rich in this country, aren't we? And so if somebody worked for you so that they can feed themselves and their family that night, and you said, I'm not paying you till tomorrow, that's not contributing to that relationship because you're not paying them promptly. Come now please to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25 verse 14 is talking about the year of Jubilee. God declared that every 50 years, if property had been sold, it would go back to the original owner because God wanted the land to stay in the family division that it had been originally given to. And so this passage we're going to read basically says that if you're going to sell land, but the year of Jubilee is coming soon, you need to make the price lower accordingly because you're not going to get to have it that long. But if it's going to be a long time and they'll get lots of fruit and produce from it, then you can charge more for it because it's actually worth more. That makes sense, doesn't it? If it's worth more, you can charge more. If it's worth less, don't try to rip people off. Look at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 14. If thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. I explained the context to you, and that's what he's talking about. Paying a fair price, not making it too high, not making it too low. If you make it too high, it's not fair to the buyer. If you make it too low, it's not fair to the seller. So you can contribute to your relationship with your coworkers, your neighbors, people that you do business with, if you'll do business with them that's prompt and fair. While I'm embarrassing people and making lots of enemies, I'm going to use an illustration on Mr. Dominic Terry tonight. But I won't make it look bad, all right? I'll make... well, let's see. See, while I was out of town, I... contacted and made a verbal contract with a certain Dominic Terry to mow my grass while I was gone. And he did that. Dominic mowed my grass a week ago. And I haven't paid him yet. And it'd be easy for him to say, oh, well, that's fine. I'm a big business now. I contract people and we invoice monthly and that's fine. I don't live hand to mouth. But should I deliberately take advantage of Dominic and say, oh yeah, Dominic, thanks for doing that, I'll pay you later. I'm going back down to Florida, I may have some expenses come up, so I want to keep the money in my wallet that I've got, but I'll pay you later. And then we get back from Pensacola and I say, Dominic, hey, I want you to know I really appreciate how you mowed my lawn and the neighbors do too, and I haven't forgotten you, I'll pay you, but just can you give me 30 days with no interest? And then the 30 days go by, and I'm like, hey, happy Thanksgiving, Dominic. I know I got to pay you for that lawn. I'll get to you. Yeah, we're going to pay you for that. Would that be right of me? Would that be contributing to a good relationship? No. And what's going to happen the next time I ask him to mow my grass? Not going to happen. Hopefully. I think he's smart enough to know that. So we need to be prompt in our business dealings and not put them off and put them off. And we also need to be fair. You see, because Dominic wasn't just mowing grass for me, he's mowing grass for my kids. Hi, kids. They have their own little lawn business. Well, they couldn't mow while they were in Florida, so they had to subcontract out to another landscaper who was going to cover for them while they were out. He was kind of on call for them. So Russell and Dominic talked, and they got things all squared away, these addresses and this often and so forth and so on. And when I heard them talk, I don't know how specific they got. But what if the Atkinson Lawn Tools Incorporated comes back from Pensacola and like, hey, Dominic, thanks for covering our jobs while we were gone. We told you we'd pay you for every job you did. How does a dollar per lawn sound to you? You don't like that? Well, do you have it in writing otherwise? All right, then a dollar a lawn it'll be. Would that be good relationship building? Would that be contributing to the relationship that the Atkinsons have with Dominic? Not at all. And so, regardless of our age here tonight, folks, let's be careful that in our neighborhood and in our workplace, if we do side jobs or even if it's for people here in church, that we treat people fairly and we do so promptly. That's a good way, a practical way to contribute to relationships. So don't worry, Dominic. I'm sure they'll at least double the price I mentioned. You should be in good shape. I'll pay you after church. That's why it's going to be a long message. I'm putting it off as long as I can. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. I love this one because God is so practical and realistic. I can so see this. Moses is repeating the law to the children of Israel as he's about to pass on to his reward. And he's given them some instructions to how to live as neighbors. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 24, when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure. But thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, But thou shalt not remove, thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. Here's the idea. You've got a whole bunch of people, and they're all farmers. And you got some growing grapes, and just some growing wheat and barley and all kinds of things. And so you're on a walk one day, and you're passing through, and you come, here's your neighbor's vineyard. Oh, and look, the grapes are ripe, they've got that lush on them, you know, and they're just begging to be picked, and you're kind of thirsty, and your mouth watering like mine is right now. And God says, it's not healing as you're walking by to say, oh, let me check on how far Jones' grapes are doing. Grab a cluster and kind of snap on the way. God says, you can do that. But God says, don't on the next day walk from home to the same place with a big old bucket. Say, well, let's check on, you know, his grapes. And you get a bucket full and go home. God says, you can snap if you can't heal. He says, if you're walking past and you're hungry, you can kind of put your hand around the wheat stalk, you know, to slide it up, and they all come off. And then you can rub it between your hands like Jesus' disciples did. And you can eat it, well, it's not popcorn, it's like raw popcorn, which I'm not sure why you want to do, but you can eat it if you want to. But he says, don't get your harvesting equipment, you know, and get it out there and mowing down their wheat. You see the difference? So a good way to think of our relationships and contributing to each other is that we should be willing to share, but we shouldn't take advantage of each other. So if somebody, well, here's an example. One of my neighbors is Frank, and Frank lived across the street, and behind him is a park. And Frank has told us on more than one occasion, hey, if you guys want to go to the park, you don't have to go all the way around and through the driveway, you can just walk across my line. That's no problem. Well, that's nice of him. That's saying you can have a few grapes on the way. But how would it be if I'm like, you know, I want to go watch my kids while they're running at the park, so I'm going to hop in my truck and I'm going to drive across his lawn to the park. It's not quite the same thing, is it? So if you want to contribute to relationships, don't be so stingy that you say, you can't touch my grapes. Hey, get off my grass. But on the other side of it, we need to be respectful of other people's property, don't we? This is a way you can have a contributing relationship. And I hope you'll start to think about your neighbors and how you can contribute to them. One more way we can contribute to our neighbors, we'll find in Deuteronomy 22. So go back a chapter to Deuteronomy chapter 22. This is one of those amazing passages where something that we've taken for granted for years, we find out has a biblical origin. And it is the concept of lost and found. Did you know lost and found wasn't something that was started at your school, at elementary school? Lost and found was started in the Old Testament. Look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 1. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it. And then thou shalt restore it to him again. It talks more about it, but I'm giving the condensed version. He says, look, if you're out and you see that your neighbor's sheep has gotten out of the fold and is wandering around the countryside, don't do this. Oh, I'm just going to pretend I didn't see that because I don't feel like taking care of his stray sheep today. I got a lot to do. He says, don't hide yourself from your neighbor's sheep that's lost. You got to go get the sheep. You got to hang on to that woolly thing. And you got to take it to your neighbor. They say, but my neighbor, that sheep has been wandering a long time. My neighbor's nowhere around and I don't know how to find him. Then you got to take him back to your house. And you got to take care of that sheep until you see your neighbor and can restore it to him. So that the lost can be found. Hey, how would it be if that's how we lived in our neighborhoods? If we took care of our neighbors and looked out for them. I was tested on this as well. I think it was when I was teaching through Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights. I'd gone through this passage. And we were driving from church from home to church one time. And I looked out in a big open field there, some grass. And then we saw it. We saw Alfred. Our neighbor and church family folk, the Robinsons, live just a couple of houses from us, and they have a little dog. I think it's maybe a corgi. I don't know. They've been watching live stream a lot. Are you guys listening? Alfred, a corgi? What's that? Can't hear you. Okay, well anyways, they had this little dog named Alfred. He's one of those dogs, you know, that his legs are like this long and his body's this long. And he's really, really cute, really friendly. But sometimes he gets ambitious and he goes for a little walk on his own. So we're driving to church for some reason, I don't remember, but we needed to be here for something. And there's Alfred all by himself. No Robinsons anywhere around that we could see. And I was like, okay, I'm looking straight ahead. I got to keep my hands at 10 and 2 and just watch the road. I do not want to see any stray dogs today. Why did I have to read Deuteronomy 22? Now I got to stop. I'm like, all right, kids, it's a rescue mission. Go. So I put the van in park. The door slid open and it was like, you know, this, you know, SWAT team. And they stormed the castle and they went and they grabbed Alfred and got him restored safe and sound and all was well. Much better than Harry. So, when your neighbor loses something, take care of it for him. Be a good neighbor. Contribute to that relationship in these practical ways. And then, when you tell him about Jesus, he just might be inclined to listen. But if you're a selfish, isolated, completely siloed neighbor, they don't think you care about them. Contribute to that relationship and God can use it. Well, we're going to move now from the law to the wisdom books. Come with me to a place that might surprise you. Proverbs 31. I know it's not Mother's Day. I'm sorry we weren't able to do Mother's Day the way we like to this year. So let's look at Proverbs 31. We're not only, though, going to be looking for applications for mom. Aren't you glad, ladies? Aren't you glad? You hear Proverbs 31. Oh no, we're in trouble. We have to be perfect. No, Proverbs 31 is about a virtuous woman, but more generally, it's about someone who is virtuous in her household. And she did things that are an example to all of us. And men, just because Proverbs 31 happens to be about a woman, don't think that there's no lessons for you to learn. Kids, there's stuff that the virtuous woman did that you ought to be willing to do as well. And we'll even see the woman's children in our reading tonight. So turn to Proverbs 31. We've seen how we can contribute to our neighbors and our coworkers. How can we contribute to people that live at home with us, whether it's roommates or siblings, our parents or children? Proverbs 31, verse 10 says this: "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price," see, we are talking about contributions, "her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil or riches. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." It's interesting in these few verses how often currency or money came up, didn't it? Her price is far above rubies. He doesn't need any spoil because his heart is trusting in her. One of the things that makes this woman so very, very special, one of the reasons that her husband doesn't need any money is because he can trust her. He says, I don't need riches. I don't need money. She is super valuable to me because my heart is in her hand. And I know it's safe there because I can trust my wife. So, ladies, if you got a husband, be trustworthy. Ladies, if you got children, be trustworthy. Children, if you got parents, be trustworthy. Men, if you've got a wife, be trustworthy. If you want to contribute to relationships so that the other person in the relationship isn't like, boy, I wish I had some money. If you want to contribute to that relationship, be trustworthy. If you want it to be a healthy, long-lasting relationship, let the heart of that person trust you. Well, how do you get people to trust you? It's not hard, is it? It's not hard to answer that question. Maybe hard to do it. How do you get people to trust you, really? I think it's by establishing a pattern of doing what's right consistently. Do you always do right by the person in that relationship? Parents, do you do right for your kids? Children, do you do right? Do you do what mom and dad say? Do you obey? Do you not take things they tell you not to take? Are you consistent at that so that they learn they can trust you? Then we're all sinners and we all fall and stumble. But basically speaking, do you behave in such a way that the people in your family, in your household, can trust you? Be faithful. Keep your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't be deceitful. Don't try to trick people. Unless it's their birthday, then it's kind of allowed. But life is not a birthday party. And if you're constantly deceiving or manipulating so that the people with whom you live don't know if you're going to be forthright or not, you're not contributing to that relationship. And that relationship is going to dry up and blow away. Don't manipulate and say, well, if I say this, then he'll do what I want. Or if I say this, the children will finally be quiet. Or if I act this way, mom and dad will give me what I want. Be straightforward. Be honest. Be trustworthy. That's a great way to contribute to a relationship. Let's come down to verse 13. See what else this wonderful example does. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Wow. This is an incredible woman, isn't she? What do we see her doing here? It says she's working with wool and with flax. She's involved in trade. And she gets up so early in the morning that it's still dark when she gets ready to feed her household. Wow. This is a hard-working woman, isn't it? She's working long and hard to provide for those in her household relationship. If you would contribute to the relationship in your household, be willing to work long and hard. Now, can I talk to all of us for just a minute about the idea of balance? Generally speaking, I think there's such a thing as kind of typical generation sin, where we look at a generation, whether it's the baby boomers or the Xers or the millennials or the, you know, the greatest generation. We look at these generations and they had tendencies. We need to be careful about stereotypes, but they had certain things that they tended to do. We look at some generations and they're big generations where there was a whole generation full of workaholics. And there were dads who weren't home because they were always working. It was the way they felt valuable, and they thought that they were doing what they were supposed to do. And it hurt their children, and their children were sad about it. And so then, history, in some ways, is the story of overreactions. It's one generation looking at the previous generation and saying, I don't want to do that. And so they run as far away as possible from it. And you know what happens when you're on a dock? If you go too far this way, you fall off. And if you go too far that way, you fall off. And in both cases, you are very, very wet. And it's true that it's possible to work too much and too hard and too long. But it's also true that it's possible to not work hard enough or long enough. God wants us to be balanced. I'm speaking to the adults and their household relationships. We need to do what we need to do to provide for our household. That's what this virtuous woman did. She did real estate. She did working things with her hand, like making clothes. She did agricultural things. She did what needed to be done. She was an entrepreneur. She got up early, it says in this verse, and in another passage it says she stayed up late. She worked long and hard to take care of her own. And if you would contribute to the relationships in your household, work hard and long to take care of them. It's expressed this way in the New Testament. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Paul says, look, you need to work hard so that you can give stuff to other people. Sometimes parents say, oh, well, I can't afford to get that for my children. Well, maybe if you worked a little harder, you could. Oh, I can't afford to get anything for my wife. I love her and all, but, you know, my love's good enough, and that's going to have to be fine. I can't buy things for her. Well, maybe you could work a little overtime. Is that so bad? Again, hear me. There's balance in all of this. Ask God to show you, am I on this side or this side? Help me move towards the middle. Work is a good thing. The Proverbs 31 woman is a great example in that regard. Now verse 21. Proverbs 31:21. You're doing great. I know this is a marathon tonight, but we're on point 8 out of 10. That's like a passing grade, isn't it? 80% is good. Here we go. Proverbs 31:21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. Why not? For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. In these verses, we see that the Proverbs 31 woman contributed to the relationships in her household by thinking ahead and preparing for the needs. She doesn't wait till the first snow is flying and say, I think maybe we ought to think about getting some mittens for the kids. She's thinking ahead. In fact, probably, if the Proverbs 31 woman were alive today, like in February, she would be buying the mittens that are on clearance for the following February. She'd know that her kids' hands are going to grow and they're going to need something the next year. And she wouldn't eat the bread of idleness. She'd be thinking ahead. She'd be planning and preparing to meet the needs of her household. She's contributing to that relationship. Again, I'm using the she pronoun because it's Proverbs 31, but how about you guys? Men, are you thinking ahead? Are you planning and preparing for those in your household? Are you thinking ahead that sometime in the course of the 365 days you're going to have an anniversary? And so you should plan ahead and, you know, do something. Parents, has it occurred to you that your children won't always be small? Has it occurred to you that at some point they might need to get their teeth straightened? Has it occurred to you they might need some help with getting started in life, whether that's investment in starting a business or going to college or something? I'm not saying you give them everything, but are you thinking ahead? And I'm not here to dictate how much you help and how much you teach them to help themselves, but I'm here to say, are you thinking ahead? Or you're making life hard for them because you weren't planning. The Proverbs 31 woman, she said, I know winter's coming, but I'm not worried about it. I already made scarlet robes for everybody. They're going to be nice and warm. Are you contributing? Are you saving up for special things that would be a help in your relationship? That's a way you can contribute and make that relationship healthy. Proverbs 31, now verse 28. Verse 28. This woman who's so incredible, her children arise up and call her blessed. We all like in our family when we read this, as soon as we get to that verse, all my kids stand up and look at Bethany and say, you're blessed! Because she's a virtuous woman. Hey kids, you guys all stand up and tell your mom she's blessed. She's a virtuous woman. Alright, that's good application. Immediate implementation is the key. Listen, if you want to contribute to the relationships in your household, don't just expect mom to do all this stuff for you. She's got to plan ahead and she's got to work long and hard and this and that. Don't expect dad just to plan ahead and work hard and contribute. When people do things that are right, we ought to encourage them and thank them. And it does go for kids to parents, from husband to wife, and wife to husband. But it also goes from parents to kids. Hey, when your kids are virtuous kids, you ought to tell them so. That's contributing to the relationship. Isn't it easier for us as parents to have expectations on our children? You better do this and this and this and this. I expect it of you, and the Bible says, honor your father and mother, so it's a sin if you don't obey me. Ha! And that's why I have such a big Bible, so I can hit you harder with that verse. Bam! But then when they do it, well, of course they did it. They had to. It's obedience. Or do you thank them? You say, hey, I appreciate the way you did that. Amen. Do you rise up and call them blessed? See, the virtuous woman did all these things and her children noticed. And they're like, hey, mom is a cool mom. Parents, when your children do right, stand up and call them blessed. Wife, when your husband plans ahead and does something, you know, like 2 days before your anniversary, like that's a real improvement for him. Rise up and call them blessed and say, good job, honey. I'm so proud of you. You got the right month and everything. All I'm saying is, it's a two-way street, isn't it? And when somebody in your household does something right, encourage them for that. Thank them for doing that. All right, and the last one, verse 31, Proverbs 31:31. It says, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Listen, when someone in your household does a good job, don't hide that. Don't pretend like they didn't do a good job. It says, let her own works praise her. Okay, so she's a good real estate agent. She makes good clothes. And she's a good, you know, agriculturalist. And so if that's your wife and she does all those things well, and everyone's like, wow, your wife is quite an entrepreneur, you shouldn't be like, oh, well, you know, she, You'll be like, yeah, that's right. And I saw her first. It's my woman. And she's good. Right? Let her works praise her in the gates. Say, yes, I'm honoring her because she's done a good job. It says, give her the fruit of her hands. When your children, when your teenagers are growing up and they're learning to do things and do things well, they're practicing some of these virtues, let them enjoy the fruits of their labor. I am so thankful that my wife has taught my girls to bake. Hallelujah. I was telling people during lockdown, coronavirus, whatever, we were big believers in stress baking at our house. Man, oh man, I was eating high on the hog. Chocolate chip cookies and zucchini bread and chocolate cake, and I think like every one of them baked their own pie. I mean, we were doing well. And you know what? If my kids are going to bake cookies, I'm going to let them eat cookies. As long as I get some too. You know what, I'm encouraged at how my kids are learning to use tools. Like for what they're supposed to be used for. Didn't start that way, did it? Let's use Daddy's hammer for, you know, a toy and leave it out in the lawn. Whatever. I'm sure my children didn't do that. I'm sure I did that to my father's hammer. I'm sure that was the problem. But you know, as my children are learning to use tools and can handle them, I'm glad for them to use them. Because that's what it's all about, is passing those skills on. Don't say, well, you can't touch that. You can't use that. Well, why did you want them to learn to use it if they can't use it? When people in your household unit are doing well and contributing, let them enjoy the fruits of their labor. If they get straight A's, you know, and the donut shop gives a free dozen for straight A's, let them have their donut and enjoy the other 11 for them. Do it. But encourage them in the good things that they've done. Let's work, okay, in our relationships, at home, in the workplace, and in the neighborhood, at not being takers, takers, takers. Let's give. Let's contribute. Let's invest in people. Let's say, you matter to me, so I'm going to give to you, and we'll have a stronger relationship because of it.
Just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.